My favorite kind of snow sticks to everything except the road. Oh, it's just beautiful. I didn't have the shovel in the driveway. Oh, man, we just take those all year long. So beautiful. And I love this season of the year. I was on the phone yesterday with a young friend of mine. Actually, he was with us back in the summer, helped lead worship in our Project Galilee revival season, Jason Tuggle. Some of you remember Jason, who had the band here. Yeah, a few of you are nodding. And he has such a deep heart, and he just gave me a call yesterday, and just kind of out of the blue, and we must have talked for 45 minutes, talking about Advent. And he told me how the Lord had built a longing in his heart. Jason had cancer as a very young man in his early 20s. And they had told him that he would never father children. And so when he was married to Amber, you know, they didn't expect a lot, but they still loved the Lord and trusted him. And surely enough, Amber was pregnant twice, but she miscarried both times. And he said, Pastor Kerry, this would not sound correct to most people, but both of those pregnancies were miracles for Amber and I. We had great loss. But they were miracles because the doctor had said that you will never father children, and I knew I had two in heaven. It's perspective, right? It's how we look at things. And God, in his plan, decided to give Jason and Amber a little Emmy Lou. And she was born shortly after Jason left here leading worship. And we got to meet her, Kim and I, down in North Carolina in November. We got to meet Emmy Lou, and she's up to 12 pounds now. She's really growing. And yesterday, through just a tender heart, Jason told me, he said, Kerry, you know, during all of the news about my cancer and what the doctors predicted and how we still became pregnant, God was building a longing in our heart. A longing in our heart that he would be our Lord. I was just moved by that. And that's what Advent is about. It's a longing that God builds in our hearts, often through suffering, through hardship, through things that don't make sense to us humanly. But that God is orchestrating, he is allowing these certain things in our lives, in this human element, so that we will begin to long for our Lord. To long for our Lord. Now, I just want to say one thing about Lord, and then I want to go to a much deeper place. If you call Jesus Lord, here is what it may mean in the most basic language. It means that you have given him the leadership reins of your life. If you call him Lord, it means that not only has he forgiven your sins, but you have given up control of your life to him. Oswald Chambers said that to make Jesus Lord is to give up our right to ourselves to God. So with that very simple understanding, we should all be able to know immediately whether he is our Savior or both our Savior and Lord. We all want forgiveness of the bad stuff, hopefully. We want to be forgiven for our acts of sin and our deeds of evil. And that's when he becomes our Savior. But when we really call him Lord, it means we also entrust him with the good stuff. We just say, Lord, I want you to take leadership of my life. And I want to bow to you. I want to bow to your desires. I want what you want more than I want anything. And so I don't know if he is Lord. I don't know if you have a longing for his reappearance yet. But I want to tell you, at the Western Wall in Israel, in Jerusalem, they call it the Wailing Wall sometimes, it's the holiest spot in Judaism. And it's where the Jewish people go to pray. And I remember my first trip to the Holy Land, it was the year 2000, and my guide was Dr. Randy Smith, and I remember the how overwhelming it was our first visit to the Wailing Wall. And somewhere in that visit to the wall, I asked Dr. Smith, I said, Dr. Smith, do you have any idea what the main prayers might be that these people are praying? He said, yes, there has been some study on that. He said, there are two main prayers that are prayed here. Of course, many prayers are prayed, but there are two prayers that are prayed in repetition. Number one is the people come to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He said, that is a main prayer. And he said, the second is that Messiah would come. And my heart just broke. As the one who has received the good news as my own, how I would have longed to take my Bible and a microphone there at the Western Wall and just deliver a message of hope that the peace of Jerusalem has already been here. His name is Jesus. And not only that, but your Messiah has come. And he's my Savior and Lord. And he's coming again. This is Advent. You know, sometimes we're pretty hard on the people at Bethlehem, you know, how they miss Jesus. The reason they miss Jesus is because their longing was lacking. They were not looking for his arrival. They had given up hope. Not all of them. I'm talking about the majority. And they missed Jesus coming into their life because they were not looking for him. They had hardship, they had trouble, but they had not allowed God to turn that hardship and trouble into a longing that they would be looking for their Lord. And I wonder how much different it is for us today. When was the last time that you had a longing in your heart for the Lord? Maybe it was this week, maybe it was today, maybe it's even now, or maybe this is foreign to you. But my prayer is that during this season of Advent, that the Lord will place within us a spirit of longing, a spirit of longing for Him, and knowing Him deeper, and being more sanctified, anxious for His return. Now, the beauty of this Advent idea is that Jesus has come, that Jesus is coming again, but he is also present with us now. We certainly don't want to miss that. The idea that he's coming again, the reason we have a longing for that is we shall see him. I don't know about you, but I long to see Jesus. I want to look upon that face. The one who saved me by his grace. And so that's what the longing for his return is about, is to see him. But I don't have to wait to see him to know him. And to know that he is here. And that he is my Lord. And my life bows to whatever he desires for my life. And I'm telling you, friends, there's no more beautiful way to live than to allow that Bethlehem baby to become the Lord of your life. Not just Savior, but Lord. How would we have this longing built into our heart? Well, this is not going to really excite you. Maybe you have put it together already. But longing comes as we embrace waiting. Waiting. The fruit of the Spirit has a beautiful list of all that's included, but one slice of that beautiful fruit of the Spirit is patience. And I've heard good Christians say, I don't pray for patience because the Lord will make me wait. The Lord will make me suffer. But do you see that patience is beautiful? Patience. Patience builds a longing, a waiting to see God. The Old Testament, some believe that one of the oldest stories of the world and in the Old Testament is the story of Job. If you haven't taken a good reading of Job lately, let me recommend it to you. As a matter of fact, if you have not read the book of Job in the Message paraphrase, I think it will be life-changing for you to read the oldest story imaginable in contemporary language. It'll mess with you. But Job, we know all the suffering he went for, and we ask why. And I was thinking about that just recently. And no doubt, God entrusted Job with all that hardship to increase his longing that God would be Lord of his life. And Job's life bowed to God. I remember the scripture so vividly because my granny quoted it when my granddaddy, the love of her life, passed away. And she would spend 30 plus years without him. And when he passed away, my granny came out of the intensive care unit, and her words were the words of Job: "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Was her heart broke? Yeah. I mean, next to Jesus, Gray Willis was everything to her. She didn't even drive an automobile. She didn't have a job. And she was just in like her, you know, her late 50s. But she allowed her life to bow to God. And some days I would catch her weeping. And one day, I've told you probably before about the day, I was about 16 maybe, I came over the back steps and Granny was sitting there. She had her hair all teased. If you don't know what that means, I'm sorry. But she would bring it over her head like a mane, like a lion. And you couldn't see her face, you know. She's taking the tangles out. And as a little boy, I would watch her do that. And I had this tradition. Wherever I caught her with her hair over her face, I would just part it. And she would go, rawr, like a lion, you know. But not on this day. On this day, I parted that mane, and there were tears all over her face. And I caught her crying. And she didn't know what to do, and neither did I. So I asked Granny, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'm just homesick." It was really weird to me. She's sitting on the back steps of her house. I said, "Granny, I don't know what you mean." She said, "I have a longing, Carrie. I want to see Jesus, and I want to see your granddaddy." It was this longing that was being built in her, this waiting, this anticipation, even through her pain and even through her loss and even through her hardship. So if God has entrusted us with these things, He really is just building within us a patience, a waiting, a longing, that He would be Lord of our lives now and Lord of our lives forever, and that our anticipation would be on end for His return. And so, you might say, what are some ways, what would be some ways that we could increase our longing, Pastor Carey? What would be some practical things that we could do? Well, I'm going to give them to you. Because waiting brings and breeds a longing for Him to be Lord in our lives. And so I'll tell you the first thing you could do, the next time that you are at the store, choose the long line. That went over like a lead balloon. I'm being very serious. You know that the devil hates when we're patient. He hates when we wait because he knows it builds longing. I've heard it said that if the devil cannot get you to outright sin, he'll just keep you busy because the results will be the same. What will be the results? Jesus will never become Lord of your life. Because without patience and waiting, we have no longing. And so the next time you're at the grocery store, I'll give you another one in case that one didn't work. Take the long line at the gas pump. That'll really freak some people out. They may call the law and say, "Someone is stalking me because we got two other pumps with a shorter line and they actually just pulled in behind me." And don't beat the horn, you know. Don't rush the person in front of you. Just sort of ease back. You know, sometimes when I know I'm right where I ought to be, I'll be at a stoplight and some way I've lost myself in worship and praise or something, and all of a sudden somebody honks at me. I love that. I used to hate it. And now I just go, I'm not trying to irritate them, I'm thanking them. Hey, you just reminded me. You know, Oswald Chambers said, this would have been the early 1900s. Think how much things have changed since. He said that in the pace of the world we live in, when we start to feel a little bit lazy, that's when we're right where God wants us. Can you embrace lazy? The sense that you're okay with waiting. You're okay with the long line. What's the second thing we could do, Pastor? Well, when you're waiting on some or waiting for someone, don't look at the clock. Oh, this is good. I like seeing you squirm, because that's what I did. Well, I was kind of writing these things down. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at your clock. Just sort of ease back. You know, just let the longing build. And then when you can't stand it no more, and you'll see not that much time really passed. Nothing really changed. But something changed within you. A longing, because you embrace patience. Now the third idea, I'll stop with three because this is a long list, I know. Number three, give extra mercy to those you live with and those you work with. That'll build a longing. You know, I've learned that sometimes we expect more out of the people we live with and the people we work with than we expect out of our own lives, out of ourselves. You would call that person a hypocrite. You know how we expect more out of our children than we're willing to live as parents. And we expect more out of our coworkers than we actually give to them. And that's because we're lacking in patience and waiting and longing. And if we lose that, he's not going to be Lord. He's not going to be Lord of our lives. And that's why so many people have not made him Lord. It's because we don't realize that long lines and not watching the clock and extending extra mercy to others is the way that our longing grows for him to be the Lord of our lives. I suppose that's what was going on my couch this week. I was sitting there. And I've already told the Lord, Lord, there is no way that I will be able to express today and next Sunday and the Sunday after all these messages will go together. There's no way that I can express what I experienced in your presence and in your word this week, but I'll do my best. I realize that Christmas means that the invisible God made himself visible. Now think about that. No one had really seen God until Mary and Joseph looked them in the face and eyes. I mean, nobody had really seen him. I know Moses got a glimpse of him from behind, and I know throughout the Old Testament we could argue that maybe some people sort of had a glimpse of God, but Christmas means that God longed to make himself visible to us so that we would long to see him as our Lord. I love Christmas. And as I was on my couch this week, I was reading through a scripture. And like I say, I won't complete it, and that's okay. But I was reading through 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 22. I picked it up in an Advent reading that I have, and it renders different ways in different translations. And in this particular translation, it would be like the Berean Literal Bible that's listed here. And then I'll show you another verse. But the Berean Literal Bible translates the verse this way, and very accurately to the original language, words we don't use that much now. We're not accustomed to. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. And then this word, Maranatha. And when I read the word Maranatha, the Lord took a hold of my heart. I've heard the word Maranatha. I know it's a Christian word. I've seen it many times. I know there was a gospel group called Maranatha back in like the 90s maybe. And I know it's a good word. But to be honest, I had never really investigated the word. And I even talked to the Lord about it there on the couch. I'm like, Lord, why have I not cared about this word? Why have I not known this word up until now? And he said, well, you need something fresh for Sunday, right? I mean, that's what I heard. Yeah, I said, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And then in the New American Standard, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Maranatha. It's an Aramaic word. So let me give you the Aramaic Bible in plain language. Whoever does not love our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, let him be damned. Our Lord has come. Maranatha is an Aramaic word that means Lord come. Lord come. And the translation of the word is a very difficult word. The idea is the people who do languages can't really tell. Does it mainly describe that Jesus has come, or does it mainly describe that Jesus is coming? Yes. Both. There cannot be a more beautiful word of Advent than Maranatha. Now next week I'll go deep in the well with Maranatha because it fits next week's gift as well. And you're going to see it illustrated and see it very practical. But I was just standing there. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at this word, Maranatha. First of all, I had to learn how to spell it. I had too many N's in it. You know, I had to fix it. I was saying Maranatha. You know, I was talking very Southern. It's Maranatha. Would you look to your neighbor and say, Maranatha? The Lord has come. And the Lord is coming again. And I had holy worship on my couch. And then I remembered a key verse in my life, Revelation 22 and verse 20. The one who is testifying to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Jesus says, yes, I'm coming soon. And then the one who calls him Lord echoes that, amen, come Lord Jesus. Maranatha has been the fiber of my faith for many years. This verse has been so dear to me. Well, how dear? How very dear, Pastor? Well, right out here by the Hope Center, we had a fundraiser. Some people are against us raising funds here. Stick with us. You'll get over it. And we were having this fundraiser, and we were buying bricks. And it was to go to something for the new building or something. I don't even remember what it was for. It was for Jesus. It was for souls. And our family bought a brick when my children were still little. And of everything I could choose to put on the brick, I put Maranatha. And I didn't even know the word. Come Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come. Stand here with me just a moment. And so then, I went to YouTube and I said, there's got to be a song. Not every Christian leader is as slow as I am. Somewhere, someone had to get a hold of this word earlier than I have, and they had to write a song about it. If not, I was going to write one. And it took me a long time to find the right one, baby, but I did. And I must have played it a dozen times. And let me just tell you, he came right there in that living room. I had Maranatha. He came. And it was Thursday. And you know, I thought, I don't know if I can do this to Pastor Joe. And when I found the song, I shot it to him. I said, you may not be able to learn this by Sunday. If not, we'll play the YouTube. It was some German worship leader, I believe. I never heard of him. Reyer. R-E-Y-E-R. And he had written the song and sung it in English so that I could have it. You know, I know Maranatha. We have a church that I hope to visit this year, maybe in August, in Calcutta, India. We adopted a pastor in the lowest caste system, and we have been sending thousands of dollars there for about 5 years. And a few weeks ago, Pastor AJ sent me word that the church will be completed, probably by Easter. And will I be able to make a trip there this year to dedicate this church? And the name of the church is Maranatha Church of the Nazarene. God is so good. I'm so glad he saved this word for me. I'm so glad I was thick and slow, because he saved it for when I need it most. I need this word now. And I believe it will help you as well. This is a view of the eastern gate, not the gate down here, but I'm looking at the gate, the eastern side of the city. This is the southern gates, actually, of Jerusalem. But if you look up on the hill, that's where Jesus ascended. And the angel had to come. They were all staring in the sky, you think? I mean, when we let helium balloons go away, I stare too long looking for them. But the Lord has just left and promised he'll come back through his Spirit, and promised he'll return ultimately again. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come and get you so that I can take you to be where I am. And this is Maranatha. And they were still staring because Jesus is going up on a cloud. And the angel came down to that east side of the city and he said, why are you looking up? This same Jesus that left will come again in the same manner. Maranatha. But here's where the phrase came from. The early church, in persecution, especially in the Roman Empire, they were told to bow to the emperor, to call Caesar Lord, and they wouldn't. They wouldn't give him that title. They had a Lord. Up until then, the believers, they used the word shalom. Peace. But Jesus had told them, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring the sword. And now they were living where peace had been subtracted. And the sword had come. And so those early believers got together in their hardship and in their persecution. And the greeted, the anthem of their lives became Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Their longing was standing on end. Their patience was full to the brim. Their waiting was now worship. And so when they passed one another, they just said, Maranatha. I want you to stand this morning. I'm going to ask Kim to come and join me. This morning, if you'd like to just move out of your place, it's not an intimidation, it's an invitation. But I believe that this is, it's a new song, so you won't know it right away. I mean, the band hardly knows it. But if you'd like to just come in away from your seat and just stand this morning, would you push that stand down, 90 there, so I can see the words? Oh, yes, Pastor Joe, thank you. If you just want to come in, you know, people go to rock concerts and they all come in on the stage, and it's the most foolish thing you've ever seen in your life, jumping up and down for nothing. And we don't know how to jump up and down, but today, if you'd like to embrace Maranatha, and say, I know he's come, and I know he's coming again. He is my Lord. I want to give him the reins of my life. Maybe you haven't done it yet. This would be your opportunity today. So he's forgiven your sins. He's forgiven your deeds. And now you want to give up your right to yourself to him. You want to give him leadership of your life. And you'll trust him in the longing and in the suffering and in the waiting and in the patience. You just trust that he knows what he's doing. And he's just building fervor in your heart for himself. This is the song, and I thank Ryer from Germany or wherever he's from for getting ahead of it so that I could have it now.
Who are we without you? Where else could we go? There's no other we could turn to, for all is found in you alone. No other name to call on than the name of Christ. There's no other voice to follow, for only you speak words of life. So with arms lifted and our eyes fixed upon you, we cry out to heaven with hearts burning for the one. Let this be our anthem. Maranatha, Lord, let your glory fall. Maranatha, your fire fill us all. Maranatha, Lord Jesus God. Presence in this place. Let it come, let it come, Lord. Heaven is what we long for. You are all we need. Your kingdom on this earth. Let it come, let it come, Lord. Heaven is what we long for. Heaven is what we seek. Your presence in this place. Let it come, let it come, Lord. Heaven is what we long for. You are all we need. Your kingdom on this earth. Let it come, let it come, Lord. Heaven is what we long for. Heaven is what we seek. Your presence in this place. Let it come, let it come, Lord. Heaven is what we long for. You are all we need. Your kingdom on this earth. Let it come, let it come, Lord. Heaven is what we long for. Heaven is what we seek. Your presence in this place. Let it come, let it come, Lord. Heaven is what we long for. You are all we need. Your kingdom on this earth. Let it come, let it come, Lord.
Glory fall, Maranatha, your fire fill us all, Maranatha, Lord Jesus come. Maranatha, our King is coming soon,
can return to your seat. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that you have come. Thank you that you have come. The invisible God has made himself visible as one of us so that we can long to see you for who you are. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your promise. And I pray that your people will not tire of waiting for your return. In suffering, in hardship, in loss, in heartbreak, that all of that will serve to enlarge our longing for your return. In the precious name of Jesus, I say, Maranatha. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're so faithful. So faithful. His presence, so real. So real. We are going to continue in worship now. And every year on this Sunday of December, we receive a love offering. Did you hear what I said? Love offering. There's absolutely no compulsion whenever we receive a love offering in this church. And Kim and I were talking this week about how our lives have been changed because of the opportunities to give. And I want you to know, as a matter of accountability, that Miss Kim and I are in on at least 99% of every extra love offering we take here, because I don't want to call you to something that I am not just willing to do, but wanting to do. And now the tithes and offerings, that's different. That belongs to God. So you had to talk to him about the tithe. The tithe belongs to the Lord. And I believe we should have some compulsion to return that. But whenever we receive an extra offering here, it's just out of the joy of our hearts that we give it. And I guess it was around 2008 when the bottom fell out of our economy. And we had some people really near to us really hurting. I mean, people in danger of losing houses, and just it was a difficult time. And during that season of the year, the Lord moved on me to receive what we call the drummer boy offering. And we've been doing it ever since. And so what happens with this offering is it goes to meet needs for people close to us or people connected to us. It's just ever how much comes in, ever how far it will go. But every dollar of it goes for compassion at Christmas time. That's where we designate it. And we send it out on your behalf to the needs that God places on our heart or He has given to us directly. And so that's what this offering is. And today, if you'd like to give to it, you can give, write a check, HFCN, just mark it Drummer Boy. Or you can go online, where 99% of my giving is online now. Because Kim and I can talk about it at home and have time to pray about it and just give right there in our home on the hfcngive.com or .org, hfcngive.something. And you can give and just mark it special offering, Drummer Boy. And the person, you know, sitting next to you may get the blessing. You won't know it. But we are very careful and prayerful. Sometimes people, we send it to them and they let us know, well, I'm not in need this year. And we say, well, God must be entrusting you to pass it on to someone that you know is. So we don't even know where all of it goes. So at this time, I want to invite the ushers to wait on us. And we have a little short video. You can go ahead, ushers. A few weeks ago, we had a packing party. Group from our church, OCC, Operation Christmas Child, went over to JMU. You've heard of JMU? They're kind of winning a football year. And but the whole football team came together and packed over 2,000 boxes in a few hours for Operation Christmas Child. A little video was shot. Here it is. I think it'd be okay to have a hand for that. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, join me now on your feet. And what a comeback they had on Friday night. I've never seen a football comeback like that. That was powerful. They had to do three things exactly correct to win the game, and they did all three. Amazing, amazing. So just pray that God will give them favor and give them influence for His glory. That's our prayer. The well, right outside here, if you want someone to pray with you today. Maybe today you say, you know, I didn't feel I could join in the crowd today. I'm not even asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins. Well, someone would love to pray with you right out there this morning. They'll take you in a little private room there and even pray with you there. Or if you have any need that you just want someone to agree with you in prayer, just across from the cafe, people are waiting. After every service, we have a group there. Also, if you're visiting with us for the first time, back here by the Holiness Unto the Lord sign, we also have our memory tree there. If you want to bring an ornament in memory of someone you've lost and someone who won't be with you this Christmas, people have already started to hang their ornaments, and it does bring a sense of healing. But if you're visiting with us today, near the lit tree, you'll have some friends back there. I do see Karen and Terry back there. They'll be glad to give a gift to you. And also, Celebrate Recovery happens tomorrow evening. We'd love to have you come. And in January, we're going to have a Sunday to let you know some of the testimonies, some things going on, and maybe some things before that. Celebrate Recovery is really bearing fruit that will last. So if you'd like to be a part of that, 6:30 every Monday, the meal at 6. And finally, I'm going to be at Advent Conspiracy tonight because it is fun. So even if you don't want to make crafts, they have some really good soup. And soup is really good when there's snow on the ground. I can't explain it. But if you'd like to show up this evening, what time does that start again? 5. Okay, yes, 5. Be here at 5. Get the good soup, you know. But we'd welcome you just to come walk in the room. Maybe you're only here 10 minutes just to see what it's about. It'll give some spirit of Christmas to your heart. And now I think we ought to leave, and we ought to have a little song to kind of get us moving. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Okay. Take your time. No rush. Build your longing.